Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Hi there, welcome along to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington. Joining me this week are Graham Rodway and David Jennings. Plus from Paddy Power, Rob Catterson. Okay, we are into round five of Glorious Goodwood and round six of the Galway Festival. It's been an incredible week. And we are going to look ahead to four races on ITV at Goodwood, including obviously the Stewards' Cup, one of the hardest punting tests of the whole summer. We've got two televised events at Newmarket. There's racing going on all over the place. DJ and Rob will have all the good things at Galway. And then we will look ahead to Sunday, where we've got the final knockings at Galway. And we've also got a fantastic bonus over in Deauville, 20 real speedballs converging for the pre-Maurice de Geest. We've got the likes of the Tin Man and Labrisa Breeze. So the boys will mark your card for that as well. First of all, though, it has been a big old busy week, hasn't it? DJ, first of all, for you, you've not just got the punting side of things, but, I mean, Galway, I've never been there for the festival, but it sounds like a battle for survival. Do you play a long game at night, or do you get your head down?
I used to be quite good at it. I used to work during the day, go out at night, come home at 4 o'clock, get up at 7 or 8 o'clock the next morning, can't do it anymore. Just can't do it.
Is that because Aoife FaceTimes you at 9 o'clock every night and says, make sure you're in your hotel room?
Yeah, send me a screenshot. No, because I just got old, I think. And it's been absolutely... I'm going to Galway 20 years. It's been the most miserable week here this week. And I think what makes it worse is looking at the sunshine over in Goodwood.
Oh, it's been lovely, hasn't it, G-Rod? Beautiful.
Hasn't stopped raining since Tuesday morning here. Torrential rain Wednesday and Thursday. It's been rotten.
It has looked weird. I mean, we're just not used to rain over here anymore. We just don't get it. But you'd had a lovely heat wave, hadn't you, DJ? And then all of a sudden, it ended just for Galway. That's such a shame, isn't it?
Yeah, and there is a theory out there that Galway gets more rain than anywhere else in Ireland. And I can safely say it's true after this week.
Well, I made one appearance there and it absolutely hosed down all day. So I can believe that. Rob, have you managed to make it pay so far?
I wouldn't say make it pay. I've had a couple of near misses, but didn't manage to get either of the big races this week. But obviously still three more days to go. So hopefully there's time to get something back.
And are you down there this week or are you office bound, Rob?
I've been office bound most of the week. The hope is maybe to get down there tomorrow, but we'll have to wait and see.
Lovely stuff. And G-Rod, how's Goodwood treated you so far?
Yeah, it's been a good week so far overall.
What's been your highlight?
It was El Faris winning the first race on the first day. A nice word for that one. And bookended the card on Tuesday. Bookended the card on Wednesday. Neither of the...
What's that your voice? It's gone all high-pitched. It's like having Alec Jones in the studio. Are you getting that, DJ? It's gone all high-pitched on us. It's very weird,
someone must be messing with the, you know, with the mic, maybe.
Okay.
But
Is it enthusiasm?
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, we're not used to it.
Actually backed a few winners.
Oh, good.
I wasn't tipping either day of those two. And then yesterday was my first day doing live tipster and everything went wrong. You know, it was just complete disaster. I had two horses that I backed who went wrong. One of them was almost brought down. It was just one of those days where just absolutely everything goes wrong. So gave quite a big back yesterday, but still ahead on the week.
So you're confident going into Saturday, are you?
Yeah, hopefully.
Okay, let's take the four ITV races at Goodwood in chronological order. Starting with the 150, it's the Qatar Stewards Cup. No, it's the Stewards Sprint Handicap, pardon me. It's the consolation race for horses that didn't make it into the Stewards Cup. It often gives a clue on where the draw advantage might be for the big race itself. And I guess it's wide open, Rob. What's the latest betting?
Yeah, absolutely. First of seven extra place races on the Saturday action. We're sevens the field. 7-1 joint favourites, Boy in the Bar and Golden Steps. We're 9-1 Makasib and Militia. It's 10s Shepherd's Purse, 12-1 Classic Seniority. It's 14s Chagatai, George Dryden and Oil de Tigre and 16s Bar.
Tough start, G-Rod. You can go first. Who have you got for us here?
Yeah, almost impossible, isn't it? Just on the draw, it'd be interesting to see how they go because in the last race on Thursday, they all the first two came right up the stand side. Now, they have been talking about...
So that's high numbers, OK?
Yeah, that's right. So they have been talking about the middle being the place to be, though, earlier on in the week on the round course and earlier on in the day yesterday. But apparently turf tracks were suggesting that the quicker ground was stand side, and that certainly was the case in the last race yesterday night. So I would be thinking a middle to low. And that seemed to be the general consensus in the Stewards Cup draw as well. A lot of owners and trainers went that way. I think there's two good bets in this race. I'm going to take two. Golden Steps, the best winner of this race on RPRs in the last 10 seasons, Golden Steps, when he won it, I think three years ago, 2015. And he was on a massive upward curve at the time. He's right down in the weights and has been a huge eye-catcher on about 50 times this year. I mean, how many times I could have put him in my tracker, you wouldn't believe. I mean, he just keeps flying home and not quite getting there. I think he's being lined up for these big prizes. This one, it wouldn't surprise me if he won this one and then ended up going close in the Air Gold Cup later on. Obviously,
he's an each-way bet, though, isn't he? Because he's one of those ones who gets in and about but doesn't always get it done.
He absolutely needs them to go really, really fast and pick up the pieces. And if they're going to do that, it's likely to be here. Whether you know he'll get the run and everything like that is all down to luck, isn't it?
Yep.
And the other one, Classic Seniority, who was second to George Bowen last time out at Hamilton. George Bowen just snuck in the Stewards' Cup. This one didn't quite get in, but it's an improving type and is on a nice mark. I see that one running really well as well. It's worth also mentioning that I know one of the owners who's got three runners in this race. It's Count Otto, Lightning Charlie, and Parnassian. Well, he's got three different chances. I texted him today. I said, oh, you know, you've got three in the first. What do you think? He said, don't fancy any of them, although Count Otto might have an each-way chance. I'll just throw it out there.
They'll probably be first three. That inside info can be a bitch sometimes, can't it? David Jennings, who's going to win 150 at Goodwood?
I'm going to chance Shepherd's Purse, Bruce. Used to be with Joe Murphy in Ireland and was once rated 108 when he was back in his heyday. He's now changed to David Lochnan, and there was so much more sign of life last time at the Curra. Showed blistering early speed in the scurry. I think it went three or four lengths clear at halfway. Just didn't quite get home. Was only beaten three lengths by Intasab. It's drawn 23. Now, I know what Graham is saying with the draw, but you just don't know. And sometimes I think going into these races, you can't pay too much attention to the draw until you see what actually happens. So I don't know what the story is of the draw, but I just think this horse, it was once rated at 108. It's down to 83. He was actually second to one of Graham's horses recently at Ayr, Musica. Remember Musica?
Yeah, I do, yeah, yeah. He didn't pronounce it like that, did he?
No, he didn't, no. And that was a good run off the same mark. He's got loads of speed, and I just wonder if he comes down the stand side rail. If he gets away from them, he just mightn't come back. So Shepherd's Purse for me, Bruce.
Rob, have you got a view on the draw? I mean, I've seen plenty of races this week where they've been spread right across the track, so I'm not sure people should try and overread this.
Yeah, maybe not. And I suppose if you look at the last four renewals, middle to low has sort of been the key, but you're probably better off to go with this week rather than previous years. I've gone for the horse that Sylvester D'Souza rides. He's obviously had a pretty good week and he's already had two big handicaps. Tony G for Jim Goldie. Now, I was researching away. I can't remember the last time Sylvester rode for Jim Goldie. He was obviously second in the race last year, Tommy G. He's probably in better form going into this year's renewal than he was last year. I reckon he's possibly got a good draw. As I said, Sylvester D'Souza riding for Jim Goldie. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think he's ridden for him in the last 5 years. To me, that's definitely worth noting. This lad's 20-1. On Sylvester's record this week alone, you'd have to back this lad each way.
Yeah, he's absolutely flying, isn't he, the old SDS. Okay, the 225's the Qatar Summer Handicap, over a mile and six. And it's a member of the blue team who's fav, Walton Street for Godolphin.
Yeah, sure is. He's 4-1 Walton Street. It's 9-2 Melting Dew. Platitude is a 7-1 chance with Pacify. It's 10-1 Sophia's Rock and we're 12's bar.
Pacify, that's got to be the one for King Rafe, hasn't it? Rob, who are you going to go for?
Yeah, well, it's obviously a Mark Johnson farmed race in recent years. He's won two of the last three. He's got five runners this time round. And just of his five, I know he's a horse that we sort of associate with the all-weather, but Watersmeet obviously ran very well in the Northumberland Plate. He probably paid the price for trying to go with Withhold for much of the way the last day, and he faded late on. But back to a mile and six. He's only had two wins on turf, and obviously he's an awful lot better on all weather, but I just thought of Mark's five, given his record in the race and Joe Fanning on board, and you're going to get a good run for your money because this lad's always up there. I just thought back to a mile and six at 12-1 Watersmeet was value.
Who for you, G-Rod?
Just on Mark Johnson's five, it's really interesting. I've got this piece bookmarked that James Pyman did, must have been yonks ago, probably two or three years ago now, and I still think it's relevant. And he basically ran out some stats on Mark Johnson when he runs more than two. in handicaps over a mile and two furlong plus. And the market is a very, very good guide with the Mark Johnston runner. So if he's got five in this race, I would definitely be looking towards a market, you know, if you fancy one of his, because it's profitable to back his shortest one, basically. And the rest of them is not profitable at all. Anyway, I don't fancy Mark Johnston's, I haven't said that.
I was getting excited there, and you shot your own theory down in flames, didn't you?
Yeah, Melting Dew is quite interesting because he beat Alfaris last time out in quite an extraordinary race where he dropped back and looked beaten. He must have traded at a huge price in running on Betfair and then rallied to get back up on the line. He looked sure to be suited by a step up in trip. However, I'm going to have to back the other. It's not the other Stout runner, but it used to be with St Michael Stout, which is Platitude. Trained by Amanda Perrett nowadays. This one, he was really promising all early in his career, lost his way, and Amanda Perrett seems to be getting him back. So I'm really won his last two starts. No match for Nearly Caught last time out, Sandown, but that was still a decent effort. Nearly Caught was pretty much a better horse than him. He's struggling on those sort of terms. He did well to get so close to him. And I think Platitude, if he continues to make the progress that he has been making for Amanda Perrett, she's getting him back, and she always does well at Goodwood. She always targets this meeting, so Platitude for me.
That was like an Agatha Christie, that, wasn't it? First of all, we had the Mark Johnston theory, then you said you were going to back the Michael Stout, and all of a sudden you switched across to Amanda Perrett.
Trying to compete with DJ
It was intriguing, but we got there in the end. Platitude for G-Rod. Who for you, David?
I was fully expecting the other two lads to tip the same horse as me here. I think Walton Street is a rock-solid favourite. He's fours with powers. I think he'll go off about half that. He's got good Goodwood form. He's won there already. He was fourth in a listed race last season as well. He didn't get a good ride from Adam Kirby that day, I thought, who kind of kicked on really early. And I just thought he moved at the wrong time. I just thought the run in the Duke of Cambridge at Ascot was by far the best piece of form on offer. He was third to Dash of Spice, was only beaten just over three lengths, got no luck in running at all up the home straight, crying out for an extra couple of furlongs. This is one of the most solid favourites of the day.
Okay. The 3 o'clock is the Qatar Gordon Stakes. Now, there's only four runners. Very disappointing in terms of numbers here for the traditional ledger trial, but it's not an easy one to suss, is it, Rob?
No, it's not, and it's a pretty tight market as well, certainly with the top three. We're 11-8 DXB. Kraus Cross Counter is a 2-1 chance. Sun Maiden's 5-2. And then the outsider of four is Bombix at 12s.
Okay, DJ, you can go first at unravelling the Gordon.
Yeah, well, it was just a case of taking on DXB because he just certainly wouldn't be in my top 10,000 horses in training. I just think he's a serial loser, and you have to take him on. And I think Sun Maiden is the one to take him on with. She's only had the three starts. I think it actually suits her that there's a small field because she's very inexperienced. She's only had a couple of starts. Like, if you go into that Ribblesdale run, she was beaten quite well by Magic One, but she was just behind Wild Illusion, who came out the other day, and we've seen what Wild Illusion done. And back and forth behind her that day was Athena, who won the Belmont Oaks on her next start. That's really good form. And I think we've seen this season that the fillies are as good, the three-year-old crop of fillies are as good as the three-year-old crop of colts. So I just think Sun Maiden, she is unexposed. We haven't seen the best of her. She's getting better. I think DXB is on the way down. I think Cross Counter is the biggest danger, but I think Sun Maiden is a better horse than Cross Counter. So by process of elimination, it's Sun Maiden.
If I was lucky enough to own a horse that finished second in the Derby and someone called it a serial loser, I would have the serious bollockache with that person.
At the top level, though.
No, I kind of get what you're saying. G-Rod, who wins this?
This isn't the top level, of course. I priced this race up myself, right? I went 6-4 joint favourites, DXB and Sun Maiden, 11-2 cross counter, and 14-1 the rag. So at 3-1 or whatever you can get on Sun Maiden, it looks a huge price to me. I mean, that run last time out at Royal Ascot is tip-top form. Magic Wand is a bit in and out, but that day she was brilliant, and on her day she's brilliant. I mean, she beat Forever Together that day at Chester. Forever Together went on to win the Oaks. The second is Wild Illusion, who won nicely the National Stakes Group 1 this week. And Sun Maiden was a running on third, on just a third start, very, very lightly raced. Did remarkably well to get so close to two horses who had more experience than her, and has been brought on along nice and slowly by Sir Michael Stout, who's in absolutely cracking form. I'm expecting some maiden. She has to improve significantly, obviously, to compete with DXB. But if you look at DXB, like DGE is saying, you know, he does have a habit of finding one or two too good. And he is vulnerable to an improver. And for me, there's no bigger improver in this race than Sun Maiden.
Oh, very strong the lads are on Sun Maiden. Are you going to make it a hat trick there, Rob?
Absolutely, yeah. Full house for Sun Maiden. I echo pretty much everything the lads have said. Like DXB, as many as placed efforts he's had in those big races, he's only ever won a conditions race. And like we've seen so many horses in the years gone by who've run so well in an Epsom Derby. There was a horse, I think, of Mick Jarvis's years ago that ended his career as a maiden after finishing second or third. A lot of horses can be flattered by the Derby, and that Derby form still has to work out, and even his runs since haven't been great. And as the lad said, Sun Maiden, like, she's got two Group 1 entries. She was brilliant two runs ago when she won by 12 lengths. The form of the Ribblesdale has been franked. She could go off favourite. I'd take the 5-2 now if I was anyone out there.
Okay,
yeah, I think she'd go off favourite as well.
All
yeah.
Right, excellent. Where do you stand, DJ, on the tradition? Rob referred to it as the Epsom Derby there. There's people, particularly on Twitter, who go absolutely berserk when people call it the Epsom Derby. Where do you stand on that?
Well, we call the National, the English National.
Do you?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, no, that's fair. It's just a reference, yeah, isn't it? Just making sure. There's so many derbies these days, isn't there? If they only want to be one derby, don't let and patent it and don't let anyone else call it the derby.
Yeah, there is. It is still the Epsom Derby. Is still. If you ask anybody in Ireland, where is the Derby run? They wouldn't say the Curragh. They'd say Epsom. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a bit like saying, where's the Gold Cup run?
Which one?
See, apparently the people don't like it when you say Ascot Gold Cup. They like it to be called the Gold Cup.
The Gold Cup to me is run at Cheltenham.
But for me, the Gold Cup is at Cheltenham.
Yeah, exactly. They also get very fussy about the British Open. Oh, it's the Open. Look, just get over it. It doesn't matter, honestly. Right then, I'd be amazed if everyone agrees on the 3:40 because there's 28 runners thundering down that 6-furlong track for the Unibet Stewards' Cup. And we've got spring-loaded Ryan Moore, who the lads think will win the previous race on Sun Maiden, is aboard Paddy Power's Jolly, Rob.
Sure is. We're sixth place in the Stewards' Cup, 7-1 spring-loaded, 8-1 Foxtrot Lady. We're 10s to his marvellous 12-1 Gifted Master and George Bowen and Growl and Silent Echo, 14s bar.
Right then, lads, I'm going to ask you, give me a number between 1 and 10 to gauge your confidence levels on this. G-Rod?
4.
4. DJ?
-2.
And Rob?
3.
Right. You might want to put the kettle on, but, you know, yeah. We'll see what the lads say. G-Rod, you're the least unconfident, so what are you going to go for?
I like Growl for Richard Fahey. Now, the only concern about this is I would really fancy Growl if there was cut in the ground, because Richard Fahey, every time you read anything that he says about Growl, he says Growl wants a little bit of juice in the ground, and it is obviously quickening up all the time at Goodwood. However, if you look through Grail's form, he has won four races, and I think two of them have come on good to firm, and one was on good, and only one was on soft. So he does handle quicker ground. He might be slightly better with cut, but we could have said that about Sharjah, couldn't we? Who went and won the Galway hurdle. I mean, we're all saying that like good ground, then it goes in and wins on boggy heavy ground. So sometimes I think you can overplay these things. I think he's finished fourth in this race in the last 2 years, and certainly last year he was fourth because I backed him. And he was running that day off a mark of 109 with Conor Murta claiming £7 off a mark of 102. And I mean, with a stronger ride, I think he would almost certainly have won. Now this year he's running off 99. So he's £3 lower than even if you considered Conor Murta's £7 claim. And we've got Paul Hannigan riding this time, who will definitely be stronger in the saddle. So I think Grell's got an outstanding chance from a handicapping perspective. And Richard Fahey has been banging on the horse is working very, very well at home. And he's extremely well himself. So he thinks that he's got him right back to his best. And I'll take a chance on the ground.
Well, you sound very confident. Where'd you get the 4 from? That was an excellent case. Rob, you can go next because you were 3 out of 10 on confidence.
Yeah, pretty much a stab in the dark, but I've plumped for the top weight Gifted Master. Obviously, he was no match for Blue Point the last day, but that wasn't his level. And he's back to 6 furlongs as well. 7 of his 10 career wins have been over 6 furlongs. He actually beat Lancelot de Lac when he was 4th at Windsor 2 runs ago. And Jason Watson takes off £5. I just thought, listen, he's probably a listed a Group 3 horse, and carrying 9-11 with Jason Watson taking off 5 shouldn't be out of his grasp. So I just thought at 12, 6 places, I thought he should be in the mix.
Okay, and DJ?
Just one thing on the ground that Graham said there, very quickly. I agree with Graham in that trainers, I'm working in this game, whatever, the best part of a decade. The easiest thing to do is trainers to say the ground. If you look at Sharjah, they always said when he ran poorly after Christmas, oh, the ground, he needs good ground, he needs good ground. And then I spoke to Patrick Mullins yesterday and he said, you know what, it was just the fall that he had at Leperton really affected him. But a trainer's reflex is to go, ah, he didn't handle the ground. So I advise listeners, if you fancy a horse, but you're worried about what the trainer says about the ground, just go through the form rather than listen to the trainer, if that makes sense. Anyway.
That goes back to that old maxim, use your eyes rather than your ears when trying to pick winners.
Absolutely, yeah. I think trainers use ground far too much. Anyway, I'm going to be very quick here. I used up my time there. I thought Tupi was a big price at 25-1. If you go back to 2014, he was second in the Vintage Stakes at Goodwood to Highland Reel. Obviously, a lot of water has crossed under the bridge since then. But like, he was rated 114 at this meeting 2 years ago. He finished, I thought he ran quite well in the Bunbury Cup over seven. He finished in mid-division, but he's been dropped £3.06 since. He's drawn in 26, which was the same stall that Rex Imperator won out of in 2013. Richard Hannon has had 15 winners in the last fortnight. It's his only runner in the race. He has a touch of class, and I just thought at 25-1 he could run well, but not with a great degree of confidence.
Jolly good, that was Goodwood. Newmarket next.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.
Okay, supporting the four ITV races at Goodwood are two at Newmarket, the first of which is the 205. Very musical theme to this. Number one is Always and Forever, and number two is Build Me Up Buttercup. So whoever's commentating may well be singing the final couple of furlongs if those two are in contention. What's the betting, Rob?
Okay, so we're 5-2 High Garden, 11-4 Crimson Rosette, 13-2 Melodic Motion, 7's Always and Forever, and 10's Bar.
Okay, G-Rod, away you go.
Yeah, Crimson Rosette for me. I mean, there's a Charlie Fellows does particularly well with fillies and improving them from basically handicappers to becoming listed stroke group horses. Now, he's actually starting here with Crimson Rosette from a better position, if you know what I mean. This horse is a better filly than a lot of the fillies that he's turned into listed and group performers. And as a result, I think he could certainly turn this into a Group 2, possibly a Group 1 horse by the end
Her
career. She's not actually in tracker. Usually Charlie Fellows trained fillies are. And he did have one in my track about 3 or 4 years ago, whose name completely escapes me, who did a similar
great story.
Thing. Yeah. Basically, it's just improved like miles and miles. And I think this is what Crimson Rosette's doing now. And an interesting angle here as well is that he's taking off the hood. Now, this is one I'd love to see us do in the signpost, if we can at some point, is to see what the trainers' records are when they actually take the headgear off, particularly the hood. Because obviously the hood is...
We could call it off with his headgear.
why not? Okay. And
if you've got any ideas for the Racing Post to make it better, you might do it behind closed doors rather than make everyone think it's completely useless. But no, it's a very good bit of feedback. Thank you, Graham.
Basically, the hood is there, obviously, to subdue them and try and calm them down. So when the hood comes off, the idea being that it then revs them back up and, you know, they might well improve for particularly the hood coming off. And I think that might see that here from Crimson Rosette, because as she's getting older, she's obviously must be mellowing at home, getting a little bit easier to handle, a little bit easier to control. And hence they feel they don't need the hood, hence she might get some improvements.
So you like Crimson Rosette quite big there, don't you? That's
yep.
A strong case from G-Rod. David, who do you like?
I'm just imagining getting an email someday from either you or Richie Farsall going, DJ, your shift today is to do a special report into what happens when trainers take hoods off horses.
That'd be good, wouldn't it? That'd be a nice one, wouldn't it?
It'd be a nightmare.
He's become a right tart now. If he's not going off doing reports from here, there and everywhere, he didn't want to get his hands dirty anymore.
Anyway, I fancy High Garden here. I think she's getting better with every run this season. She was second worth waiting in a course and distance Lister race last time. Similar contest to this, actually, just ahead of Always and Forever. Worth Waiting is a proper filly who's going places. I think she could be a cracking stayer in the next couple of years. High Garden looked the likeliest winner, if 200 yards out there. Just couldn't see off Worth Waiting. But Frankie is on board. And I'm surprised Frankie is not at Goodwood.
Is that a clue, potentially?
I think this is the only reason, like, this is his most likely winner today. So, Yeah, I think High Garden is just a better horse than Crimson Rosette, and has already finished ahead of Always and Forever. So the form is in the books for High Garden for me.
And who for Rob?
Yeah, DJ pretty much has read my script. Can't believe Frankie's not in Goodwood. This is definitely his best chance of a winner at Newmarket. And as DJ said, she beat two of these that went second at Newmarket. To me, this is a no-brainer. She's probably the best bet on the Newmarket card.
Wow, okay. And the 240 at Newmarket, it's a competitive nursery. It's the European Bloodstock News British EBF Fillies Nursery. How do Paddy Power bet?
Okay, we're 13-2 about Thriving, 7's Strings of Life and Quiet Waters. We're 8-1 about Ginger Nut and Pass the Gin, 9-1 Porcelain Girl and Prairie Spy, and Snazzy, 10's Bar.
Now, DJ, you mentioned before we came on air that you fancy one here, so you can go first.
Yeah, it's like a Saturday night. My horse here, that was going to be a terrible joke. I was trying to work Past the Gin into a funny comment, which didn't work at all. I fancy Past the Gin. I thought Past the Gin was very impressive at Chester last time. Now, it was only rated 68 going into that race, so it's gone up £11 for that, which is pretty big. But I just loved the way she just went through the gap about a furlong out. She went on to win by over 3 lengths. Like, I was thinking, watching that race, I said, this is a filly who could get up to maybe 90, and she's only rated 79. I think there's ifs and buts about a lot of these. Strings of Life, obviously, is the most solid form, but she has to give, you know, Past the Gin £8, and I'd be surprised if she could. So it is Past the Gin for me.
Righto. Rob, next up is you.
Yeah, it's Strings of Life for me. As DJ said, she probably sets the standard. She was a good second in the listed race in her most recent start. But obviously, Charlie Appleby with his two-year-olds, he's a pretty good strike rate, but it's an even better strike rate with his runners at Newmarket in the July course. So combine those and Strings of Life should be banged there.
And G-Rod.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously spend a lot of time at Newmarket's July course, and don't mess around there when you're betting in the juvenile races. Just back whatever Godolphin run. I mean, they are so, so good at Newmarket, particularly Charlie Appleby, and I really like Strings of Life. He's got Carmo Donoghue over to ride. It was quite interesting booking.
Okay, nice and short and sweet there. Let's go across to the beautiful west coast of Ireland and Galway. Their big race on day 6, isn't it, DJ? I've lost track. Of the festival is the 4:45. It's the Galway Shopping Centre Handicap Hurdle. Have you had to pop into the Galway Shopping Centre this week for a few emergency bits and pieces, DJ?
No. I actually got in trouble because Aoife came in yesterday and I didn't have bran flakes or milk, which I got this morning. So, I didn't go. I just went to the local shop for them. But I think this is a really good race. This is possibly one of the best races of the week, actually. And the one I thought was the most likely winner, Willie has any amount in them, and Rob will be the one to tell you best here because he is the owner of one of Willie Mullins' horses in this race, but we'll come to him in a minute.
Oh, wow.
Manillo, yeah, and has a chance, although I'm sure he's tearing his hair out with jockey bookings. I think that Manillo Ward is very, very interesting off its mark. Harry Fry has had a couple of runners here this week. Drumcliffe fell in the Galway Plate, but I thought Manillo Ward, that form with no comment, is the form that really gets me. Was second to No Comment in a hurdle race at Punchestown last season. Was only beaten a length. They put miles clear. That was off a mark of 134. It's up to 142 now. But I thought it ran really well at Punchestown this year. Was only beaten 5 lengths by a Great View. Finished 7th. Ground should be fine. I still think he's a 7-year-old who could scale even loftier heights than 142. And Davy Russell, who I'm sure could have ridden at least 10 horses in this race, has been booked by Harry Fry. So Manila Ward's for me, but Rob will tell you more about his horse.
Well, Rob, first of all, before you tell us about your horse, do we have any betting on this yet?
We don't, no. It'll be about 4 o'clock, I'd say, today, but usually is the Galway card.
But that's presumably because you're busy hoovering up the big prices about your horse with all the others, and then you'll go shortest. Who is your horse and will it win?
Well, it's not my horse. I have a very small share in Bargy Lady. She's been fairly consistent. She won well at Killarney the last day. The key to her, I suppose, is she needs a trip. And she's over, obviously. She's running over 2.6 miles. She has her chance. Obviously, Ruby's gone for Shanning. He's 2 from 2. And that would suggest
I
that...
I couldn't believe that.
Yeah, I thought he'd be on Uradel.
Why couldn't you believe it?
Because Uradel won the race at... earlier on in the week.
Monday.
Bargy Lady was the horse that everybody was talking about for this race for the last couple of weeks after it won last time. And you're kind of going to yourself, Shanning has only ran twice and, you know, would look the third or fourth string. Like, if Ruby wasn't on Shanning here, even though it's unbeaten, Shanning would be a double figure price, and they was likely to be favourite.
All right, okay.
Yeah, no, as DJ said, listen, she's definitely got a chance, but would, like, I suppose, obviously, this Shanning's obviously been working well. That's why Ruby's doing 10-3 on it, but she's an each-way chance. With Ruby not on her, she might be 7 or 8 to 1. But I thought Ruby'd be on Eurodale. Obviously, he won earlier in the week, and he'd be the one of Willie's 8. I think Eurodale is probably the one to beat. But Bargy, she'll run her race. There's no doubt about that.
Have you had much from Willie in terms of communication and about your one's well-being?
Nothing this week, but
you don't get a lot, do you? I was lucky enough to have a little share in a horse with Willie.
But hey, little boy.
Yeah, he's not exactly on the phone 24/7 telling you all about how he is he? But anyway,
I know. But listen, in fairness, any time you chat to him at the track, even before the race or anything like that, he'll always pretty much tell you what he thinks.
And the main thing, he is a bloody master. So okay, so if you weren't going to have not sentimental, but it's your own horse, so you're obviously going to back that. Who do you fear most?
I think Eurodale is the most likely winner. I thought Ruby would be on him, like to beat Limini. Obviously, Limini runs a little bit later on, if Limini wins this evening, even if Ruby's not on, even the fact that Ruby's not on him, like we saw yesterday in the Galway Hurdle, he wasn't on Whiskey Sour, and Whiskey Sour still went off favourite. So if Limini wins tonight, Eurodale will go off 7-2, 4-1 probably.
Right, let's do the weekend roundups. We'll do the Saturday roundups. Where are we racing? We've got Chelmsford, we've got Doncaster, we've got all the rest of Galway, all the rest of Goodwood, we've got Hamilton, Lingfield, rest of Newmarket, Thirsk, blimey O'Reilly, there's some racing on. G-Rod, yes. Who would you like to tell us will win away from the glare of the TV cameras?
The 4:15 is really interesting. There's a horse called Fox Power, unraced for Richard Hannon, 450,000 guineas purchased. He really likes this horse. Rates it quite highly. Now, already this week, Richard Hannon has already had a nice winner of a maiden at Goodwood, and then he should have had another nice winner of a maiden at Goodwood, that Al Hackmar in the Fillies Maiden on Wednesday or Thursday. It was one of the most unlucky losers you're ever going to see. End up one way, then the other, absolutely flew home to finish second. So we're already deducting that Richard Hannon is running some of his nicer juveniles at this course. It's obviously not an easy place to make a winning debut. That's the only thing you would say. There's obviously the danger that Fox Power could get undone by inexperience, but I'm sure that it's got the talent to win this, and if it doesn't win, then you'll be seeing it going on to better things in time. I had to scroll through for the last race because it's right at the bottom, the very last run on the whole card.
This is Goodwood we're talking about.
Back at Goodwood, yep, 5:25. Another Richard Hannon runner, as we were saying earlier, he's absolutely flying. Motown Mick sneaks in nicely at the bottom under the well-named Thor Hammer Hansen, probably the best jockey name going in Britain at the moment. And I think that Richard Hannon's going to get him on the nice winner before this season is out. Maybe this might be the one. Gets in off a feather weight and should improve for the step up to 1 mile, 1 furlong, having been tried over 7 last time, pushed along from an early stage and absolutely flew home all too late. And then we're going to Newmarket, the 4:25. The boys have already stolen my thunder on this one because I thought I was going to be the first to be able to declare that I'd noticed that Frankie had got over to Newmarket rather than down to Goodwood, but sadly they beat me to it. Mistress,
you know, when they do the decks, they have the name of the horse and then the jockey, so it's not exactly, you know, difficult to find that info.
I know, sadly they beat me to it. So Mistress Quickly, 4:25 at Newmarket, only run at Newmarket, over course and distance, absolutely bolted up, has been right back in form last two runs.
And what a trainer as well.
Oh, she threw in the towel last time, Graham.
Don't worry about that. This will have been the aim for a while, I think, from Rafe. And he's got Frankie up, and I think he's a different class to this lot.
Excellent. Lovely stuff. Nice round up there, G-Rod. David Jennings, away you go.
That Mistress Quickly, I thought she thought about it the last time, but we'll see. I just laughed away one of Graham's best bets of the weekend is a horse that hasn't ran yet.
What's wrong with that?
Because we don't know how good it is.
Oh. I know that it's fairly good.
G-Rod's very well connected, right?
Sorry, I didn't know that. Okay. I have 14, Bruce.
Oh, you don't.
I'm joking.
I'm editing today. God, we'll never get the paper off. Okay, how many are there?
No, there's only actually 3, and one of them I want to give as my nap, so I won't mention it.
Okay.
In the 4:50 at Goodwood, Nicholas. absolutely bolted up last time at Salisbury. I'm surprised it didn't go up double figures. Only went up £8. I think that'll win the 4:50 at Salisbury. Nicholas, over to Galway, and in the 3:35, Dermot Weld hasn't had a great week so far, but Rock Sound is still only Rock Sound is only still only raced 75, was hampered badly in its first handicap, won a maiden first time out. I think they think that that is seriously well handicapped. Rock Sound, Declan McDonough rides from Eigler in the 3:35, and the other one that I fancy at Galway is my nap, so I'll keep it.
Righty-ho, and Rob, anything else for you?
Yeah, a couple at Goodwood in that 4:15 that Graham was talking about. Mark Johnson's got two, but Sky Defender is the only one of the two who's entered in the Champagne Stakes. He's a debutant, so watch out for money for him. In the 4:50, I thought On the Warpath was unlucky at Newcastle. I think he's got a really good chance for Godolphin in the 7 furlong handicap. And then three at Galway. And the 3:35, Guanabara Bay was a bit unlucky earlier in the week. Colin Keane's on him. I think he could go a few places better. In the maiden hurdle, the 5:20, you go back to the December 26th at Leopardstown, that maiden hurdle, which generally works out well. Manamite was well backed on that occasion. He was pulled up. He was found to be unwell after that. He's back out. Watch out for money for him. He's in JP's colours. And then in the bumper, Willie's won the last two. But Florazzi, who was sixth in this race last year, she's had three good seconds since. And Martin Brazel's had two winners this week. I think Florazzi might be value in the bumper at Galway. That's the 5:55.
Righto, let's get the naps. Steve, take it away.
This will not be beaten.
Graham Rodway.
Sun Maiden in the 3:00 at Goodwood.
David Jennings.
Urban Light in the 3:05 at Galway.
And Rob Catterson.
I'm going to try and join the Niall O'Reilly League. Tommy G in the 150 at Goodwood at a double figure price.
Well done, lads. Let's look at Sunday next.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back, Bruce Millington, David Jennings, Graham Rodway and Paddy Powers. Rob Catterson, looking ahead to a very interesting Sunday. We've got a couple of meetings in Britain, Chester and Market Raisin. We've got the final day of the 7-race marathon that is the Galway Festival. And we've also got an absolutely cracking Group 1 over in Deauville. 20 sprinters hurtling down the course there. We'll do that after we've looked at Galway, the fag end of the festival. And DJ, when it comes to day 7, you've been there all week. You're one of the most enthusiastic people I know, but even you must be flagging, aren't you?
Oh, I hate it when it comes to Sunday. You just want to get home. Oh. It's like the end of the world. It's like... And see, if you're there for the whole week, there's a break in the crowd. So a lot of people come Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, then go home. And then people come Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So you have a load of fresh people, enthusiastic people coming in for the weekend. And you're just all you want is bed.
You're out on your feet, are you?
Oh. Out on your feet, yeah. Like I would be in a marathon.
Okay. Well, give me some winners at Galway on Sunday before you sign off.
Well, the one horse who certainly does love all 7 days of Galway is Dream Walker, who has won the feature race, the Anura Handicap at 3:35 for the last 2 years on the trot. And it comes into this year's race, chasing a hat-trick, will probably be its best run of Galway. It finished fifth the other day behind Riven Light in the Colm Quinn B&W Mile Handicap. And the key thing about Dream Walker is he used to be with Brian Ellison. He's with Gerard Fahey in Ireland now, with Galway in mind. But Dreamwalker always runs twice at Galway. It always runs at the start of the week and in this race on the Sunday. And its runs at the start of the week are usually just grand, like, you know, warm up. But this was a brilliant run behind Riven Light. Stayed on really strongly down the outside to about the 200-yard pole. And I don't think Dreamwalker fully gets the mile. It's only a pound higher now than it was in the race last year. It's drawn in stall 5. It was drawn in stall 14 last year. Chris Hayes did incredibly well. I went through this race not wanting to tip Dreamwalker because I hate tipping horses that everybody else is going to fancy. And I know Rob is probably going to tip Dreamwalker, and I know Graham Rodway has no homework done and he's probably going to just rob my tip and tip Dreamwalker as well. So I didn't want to tip Dreamwalker, but I have to tip Dreamwalker.
3:55 there. And that's Dreamwalker for David Jennings, who makes a very eloquent case. Are you going to endorse that, Rob, or are you going to fly in the face of the great man?
DJ knows me too well. Yeah, I backed Dreamwalker earlier in the week. Obviously, I was watching him the whole way round, and things just didn't go his way. And as DJ said, Galway's been the plan all year for him. He's a much better draw. He's suited by the race conditions, and hopefully he'll win.
Okay, anything else from you, Rob, for Galway on Sunday?
Yeah, I've picked out one in every race, so I'll fly through it.
We don't want to know why, just the name of the horses, right?
Right, Silver Class in the 2:15 for Tony Martin. Lizzie's Champion, the 245. Queen Riker for Sheila Lavery in the maiden, the 320. Haymount in the 430. 5 o'clock Blast the Cooman, who's probably my best bet on Sunday. Maze Runner in the 5:30. And then another winner for Willie in the bumper, the 6 o'clock Darrell's Pierre, but likely to be no price.
There you go, if you want a £1 each way Goliath, that will cost you 497 quid, I think. No, 497 quid, don't do it. G-Rod, anything for Galway? You haven't looked, have you?
I thought Dream Walker had a fantastic chance in the 350.
You were telling me before you came on air that you fancied that, weren't you?
I mean, the other day, he never runs well in that race. It's usually just a tune-up, but he absolutely flew home. His best run of ever at Galway. And he must be absolutely spot on for this.
You've made a really strong case there, Gerard. Thank you, because I was struggling there, but thankfully you've convinced me to have a bet there. Do you fancy anything at Chester or Market Razor before we get on to Deauville?
To be fair, I did have a spin through Chester, but nothing jumped out. So, and Market Razor, I can't get on with jumps at this time of the year. It's very, very difficult.
Okay, right then. Let's go across to Deauville then. It's the 2:15. It's the pre-Maurice de Geest over 6.5 furlongs. We don't have prices yet, but I'm going to quickly read through all the names so you know the deck that we're dealing with. We've got Brando, we've got Labrice of Breeze, we've got Larchmont Lad, we've got City Light, we've got Times Arrow, The Tin Man, Dubai, Inns of Court, Bacchus, Intelligence Cross, Shang, Unfortunately, Wooten, Fleet Review, Sands of Marley, James Garfield, FRR, Actress, Polydream, Coeur de Butte. What a race, chaps. Fantastic. Who wants to go first? DJ, I think you should.
Yeah, I kind of strongly fancy the Tin Man. I just think he's better than these. It's a really good race, but I think over 6 at a track like Deauville, and you have to remember it's 6.5. So those that, you know, might be a little bit better over 5 or just about get 6, I think it takes a little bit of getting. I think the Tin Man ran an absolute stormer, right, Ascot? Like, it just, Tom Queeley went for one gap. Wouldn't have won the Diamond Jubilee, but he went for one gap and just didn't get it. He was pushed right back. And just the way it finished, I thought, was really impressive. It struck me that the Tin Man is just as good at 6 as he was at 5, 4, and 3. And I think it's a case of him just being the best horse in the race.
Fabulous stuff. G-Rod, who wins the Maurice de Geest?
Yeah, I've got quite an interesting one here. James Garfield.
Yeah.
Quite fancy.
He's the one, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a good price. And I think he's...
What price have you seen?
Well, he's going to be at least 16s, isn't he?
I don't know. You tell me.
I don't know.
You say he's a good price, as if you've seen...
Well, he has to be a good price. I mean, he can't be favourite for this with the likes of the Tin Man and Brando and all those proper Group 1 horses in him. But, I mean, this horse, he looks like a Group 1 winner waiting to happen to Myers. I mean, that was a huge run last time out. I know he finished 7th. He was beaten by a few, but he was carrying a penalty in the Jersey Stakes. And the winner, Expert Eye, went on to finish a close 2nd at Goodwood this week. And also, the horse wants more cut in the ground. And usually in France, you can guarantee it's going to be a little bit slower.
It's going to be good. They're calling it good.
They're calling it good, but, you know, it's France good, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's probably slightly slower than that. Probably more like good to soft. Well, that's what I'm hoping for anyway.
Frankie on his back. What can go wrong?
Frankie's over there to ride. And, I can see him running really well. This might well be his trip as well. I mean, certainly doesn't get a mile. He obviously won nicely over 7 early in the season at Newbury when, again, he beat Expert Eye, who, as we said already, you know, wasn't far away the other day. And I think James Garfield's got a great chance.
Yeah.
Just one interesting point on James Garfield. He's wearing blinkers for the first time, which I thought was interesting.
Okay, I didn't spot that, yeah.
Yeah, good spot. You didn't spot that,
no,
did you?
No, I didn't spot that. So that's another positive, isn't it?
Yeah, well interjected, DJ. Rob Catson, who do you think will win this?
Yeah, I suppose the obvious one is City Light. He does set the standard after finishing 2nd to Merchant Navy. He went into that race, having won his previous 3. He's won over 5. He's won over 6.5. To me, he ticks all the boxes. And he's the one to beat.
Okay, thank you very much, chaps. Well done. It's been a marathon week, and Maddie will be back on Monday to look back on Goodwood. Hopefully she'll have someone from the Emerald Isle there as well to review Galway. Don't forget, there's loads of great podcasts coming your way. We've got the new golf ones that are out every Wednesday with Steve and the brilliant Ian McLaughlin from Paddy Power. So make sure you don't miss out, because we've got the US PGA next week. Football all the way. There's loads happening. Stay tuned with the podcasts. Don't forget, if you do enjoy the shows, please do rate, review and subscribe on iTunes, SoundCloud and whatever else it is that's written down here and I can't see because I've got the wrong page up. Thank you very much. Thanks for listening. Maddie's back on Monday.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather or the gym.